Pete Lawler is a part of the SEN cricket commentary team. He will provide a wonderful perspective of the game, of course, and he will be a part of the Gerard Whateley team throughout the summer, and it does start next Wednesday up there. And there's a lot to play out in the 7 days leading up to this first test. And again, weather permitting, it's certainly creating havoc up there. And speaking of creating havoc, well, the series has been turned on its head, although I think Cricket Australia were probably prepared for what was going to take place over in Perth. Premier Mark McGowan simply won't budge. He spoke yesterday, the Premier of WA, in regards to the Perth test and the quarantine surrounding the England travelling party.
We've said to them, you need to have 14 days quarantine. And that has to apply to all the broadcast staff, the cricket staff. They can't just bring wives and girlfriends with them. Same rules as we put in place for the AFL.
Short and sharp there from the Premier. So give us your thoughts and 1-300-736-736-0433-98-11-16. Where should that test match now be played? Because you can rule a line through Perth. It's not going to change. He's not going to change Mark McGowan. So it is done. It is done and dusted at Optus. Pete Lawler is, of course, a part of SEN Cricket this summer. It starts next Wednesday. Pete, doesn't come as any great surprise.
No, it doesn't. No, the tone of conversation started to change last week, I'm told, secondhand, at Cricket Australia in their conversations with broadcasters and others preparing for this test. Had it been, you know, we're dealing with this, we can't cope with this. It's really depressing, isn't it? Especially for West Australians and Western Australian cricket, which I reckon is one of the better administered cricket states in the country. They've got that fantastic stadium at Optus. They've got that facility next door at the Wacker. And this will be the second year in a row that they have actually missed out on Test cricket. And they just don't want it. I mean, you heard the Premier there, but even the sports minister is on the front page of the local paper saying that it'd be a bigger blow to have COVID-19 run riot in the community than to miss out on a test match. That from the sports minister. It kind of shows you where I don't need to tell you this, Tim, where the Western Australian sort of perspective is coming from, isn't it? They must look at us over on the eastern states. Well, they look at us and see we've been living through hell for 2 years and they've had the windows open and had it easy. So that's their attitude, and it's not going to change, unfortunately.
No, Tony Booty is the sports minister. It was only a couple of months ago he was espousing why we should have an Ashes test here in Western Australia. So it's been certainly a 180. Now, just in regards to the thought processes that you say that the narrative might have started to change inside the walls of Cricket Australia, getting aware of that there was not going to be a budge from Mark McGowan and the WA government, do you think they've made up their mind where this fifth test will now be played?
I think that they're coming to that conclusion that they can't play it there. And look, just let's cast our mind back a month or so ago, and England were absolutely determined about the quarantine situations for this tour. Well, the Australians have joined them too. The message is coming down from the Gold Coast. Like, the players got out of... the players were rewarded for their World Cup victory with 2 weeks in quarantine in Queensland, which didn't sit very well with them, because they're saying, if we come back to New South Wales or to Victoria, we'd be free people. But they've just emerged and say, and I've heard them say, not one more hour of quarantine. We're just not doing it this summer. So there's a lot of things piling up, and, you know, the broadcasters won't want to go there either. So even if Australia haven't made up their mind, I think their mind's going to be made up for them, isn't it?
True. Pete Lawler, our guest, part of the SEN cricket team, of course, commentary team, starts next Wednesday. Now, we see the weather has sort of turned the preparation on its head up there in Queensland, on the Gold Coast, and in camp for both England and Australia. Fairly frustrating, I would imagine. England's build-up has certainly been, more importantly, has been really hit hard. What are we expecting from them in 7 days' time?
Well, how's the generosity of Australia, Tim? I mean, I've just seen England's media manager, Danny Rubin, say, how good is this? They've turned, you know, they made us right at home by providing Manchester's weather up here in Brisbane. So they've just announced that the fourth day of their warm-up match is washed out, which coincides with the first day of Australia's warm-up match being washed out. So Look, both teams are going to be in the same boat, aren't they? It's going to be interesting to get up. They're both going to have some indoor training today. I had heard some of the Aussies saying that, you know, we don't really need to stand around for a three-day tour match getting sore feet in the outfield. We probably prefer to just get out and just got to clear our heads going for a walk. But both teams are in the same boat, so there's no real disadvantage there, is there? I don't think.
Mike Atherton, former England captain, has written an article, penned an article in regards to Joe Root, last throw at the stumps as an Ashes winning skipper and the like. It hasn't been an ideal build-up for him personally, of course, in particular with the Yorkshire issue that won't go away. He's trying to keep on top of that, but of course the British press are all over it. It's pretty disruptive, and I know Australia's had their disruptions. There's no doubt about that with the Tim Payne issue and a whole range of others in trying to find a captain and Steve Smith and all that sort of stuff. But he it would be feeling the heat already, Joe Root, without a ball even being bowled.
It's hard to imagine where Joe is on this stuff. I mean, let's remember he's on the other side of the world. And he hasn't exactly been central in this sort of Yorkshire controversy. And I think there's a pretty general acceptance that Joe Root is not the sort of bloke that would be involved in those sorts of things. I mean, there's been a lot more focus on Michael Vaughan, for instance. I don't think they're feeling it that much. I mean, Tim, if you're going to be serious about it, as profoundly disturbing and probably having more serious consequences as that racial dispute that's playing out at home is at his home county, I don't think that has the same sort of scale of disruption as to what's happening in the Australian camp.
In regards to that, Justin Langer made a quick trip, got one foot outside the door after the 2 weeks of lockdown in Queensland and made his way to Tasmania a few days ago. It has been reported by Tom Morris. Obviously very supportive of Tim Payne. Has been made public that he wanted Payne to continue in his role as captain. A great sign of support for Tim Payne from the coach. I mean, they were certainly arm in arm in regards to the resurrection of the behaviours and the patterns of the Australian team after South Africa.
It was heartwarming to read that, wasn't it? I thought. Shows you the humanity of Justin Langer. And, you know, Justin has worked very, very closely with Tim in this sort of three-year sort of attempt to rehabilitate the image of Australian cricket. But, you know, he's an essentially very decent bloke, Justin Langer. And that kind of shows it, doesn't it, that the first chance he gets, he's down there to support his guy. And, you know, in some ways, I wrote a slightly cynical article earlier in the week that, you know, cricket abhors a vacuum. Cricket moves on. Once someone leaves the dressing room, I'm not saying they're forgotten, but yeah, the game goes on. There's always another player to replace them. The players who are still in the team have so much at hand, so much on their mind that, you know, often when players leave the dressing room, they feel really isolated. I'm sure this isn't the case with Tim because he's very respected, and I think there's a lot of sympathy for the situation he's in. You even heard it when Smith and Cummins spoke the other day that, you know, they spoke of their admiration for him, for what he'd done in the team, and also of their concern for him. And I think they were genuine words. So, I suppose it's heartening for Tim to know that the team's got his back in this situation.
That they do. You talk of Pat Cummins there. This is no warm-up tournament to be a captain of Australia, is it? It's straight into the fire with an Ashes. It's hard to say how he's going to go. He does have the support of a man who's been there in the heat of battle in Steve Smith, whether we agree or disagree on that appointment. But just from your perspective, Pete, do you think Cummins, one, was the right man for the job, or do you think he was the only man for the job?
I suspect he was the only man for the job. I think you can sort of see that there was an uneasiness about putting Steve in, particularly given the circumstances and what had gone on in the past. Yeah, I wonder whether the role of coach becomes even more important. I think we saw that with Tim, and that Tim licensed Justin to do a lot of, to be more sort of, more involved in minute-by-minute things in the team. And I think you could argue that Justin Lang was probably the most powerful coach in Australian cricket history, had the most influence within the team. And I think that started to wear on people towards the end, and obviously did. But if you've got a fast bowler, I wonder if, how much more you're going to have to rely on eyes off the field and, you know, plans that are set in place and people perhaps, you know, feeding messages to you down the boundary when they give you a sports drink and a towel when you're gasping for breath at the end of an over. Obviously, he'll have great support with from Smith and from Warner, who have got really good cricket brains, and from Marnus Labuschagne. It's going to be great to watch how it goes, to be honest with you. It's going to be very interesting.
The keeper spot looks like it's done and dusted, according to, well, everyone you've spoken to in the last 24 hours. Alex Carey looks like he's got the gloves for the test match. That's based on the fact is that Josh Inglis has ended up back in Perth. But I read with interest today, and stand corrected, someone telling me he's actually going back to Queensland after a few days. He's got out of quarantine, gone back, going to freshen up for a day or two and go back and stake his claim for a spot in the test. Did you know if that's true or not?
Well, Tim, unsurprisingly, I have no idea. Better journalists than me are writing what you said. And when I saw that detail, I wondered what's going on there. Look, common sense tells me that Alex Carey is the guy that they had in mind to do it. Yeah. I mean, Inglis has been over at that T20 and had no preparation, really, like a lot of the guys at the T20. But Carey is a guy who's been here and has been playing and has been at the front of the queue for a long time. So I'll defer to the guys who wrote that yesterday, that they know better than me.
Everyone's scurried on the Inglis form, saying that, oh, well, that's a done deal and that's ticked off. And that's where they went with the Carey. Look, I think it's going to be Carey too, but it was interesting that they just absolutely ruled a line through Inglis. And you pick up the paper or get online today and they say Inglis is actually going to be returning to Queensland to push his claim. So obviously a decision, well, we think, hasn't actually been made as yet. So it's an interesting one. The bowler, the Stark-Richardson battle, Stark's got a hold on it for right now. Would you like to see a point of difference, or do you need the left armer in your attack, or do you think Jai Richardson's bowling too well to leave out from the first test?
I'm always pretty conservative on these ones. I think you start with Stark, see how he goes for the first couple of tests. I think I like him at Brisbane. He's the incumbent. But one thing you can be guaranteed of, isn't it, that you are going to, if he stays fit, we will see Jai Richardson at some point. And it wouldn't be a great shock to see him in the first test. I think coming out of the back of last summer, most of the conversation was that Stark wasn't going to start in Brisbane. That was the long-term view. As it's got closer, I think people have changed their mind a little bit about that. Starkey struggled last summer, but let's not forget what he was keep in perspective the situation he was in with his father. And it was a very difficult period. And I think in some ways, there was a mistake made by not rotating the bowlers last summer. I think we all think that anyway. We'll never know. I've got Stark in the first 11 for Brisbane.
Yep. Tend to agree there. So a double snub, in fact, a triple snub for WA. No test match, no Richardson, no Inglis. See you blokes on the East Coast. You've got it in for the West Australians. There's no doubt about that. Hey, Pete, just in regards to England's preparation again, just in regards to their team, Ben Stokes back in, he just makes a heck of a difference, doesn't he? I know he's choked on a tablet and he felt like his life was going to pass before his eyes and all that sort of stuff. I get all that. But I tell you what, he just does make a difference. They're a 25% better team simply by having one player called Stokes.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? And you know, the all-rounder is the sort of Shangri-La of cricket, isn't it? Australian cricket spent decades looking for that key all-rounder. Every team does, because it is just so important. But to have that ability with bat and ball, as he does, and the ability to win a game. I mean, I would argue that performance in Headingley, he did as much with the ball in that incredibly extended spell in Australia's second innings as he did with the bat, although I guess in the end you have to doff your hat to that innings. But the other thing that Stokes brings is is his sense of, as a team player. Things feel better when he's around. The England team lifts. They walk a little bit higher, a little bit straighter. They love him. He's very enthusiastic. So his enthusiasm is infectious. But most importantly, he never gives up. He's so competitive. And we saw that in the bowling and batting at Headingley.
I think he's the modern day Botham, isn't he? As far as when you know Australia look at him, they see what he can do with bat and ball. He's also got that real grit about him. He's also just got that, I don't know. He's just got that leadership, and he's got broad shoulders. I think there's a lot to like about Ben Stokes. I think we're better for him being in the series. Just on the text line, Pete Lawler, last one for you, Pete. Ahead of the Ashes, which start in 7 days' time up there at the Gabba, we haven't talked about the Khawaja head situation. Again, it's one of those. Look, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't with this test team, whether it be the keeper, whether it be the fast bowling stocks and also, you know, the top order and how that's going to look. Khawaja or ahead for you?
I'm not paying enough money. Honestly, don't know. If I was a selector, it would keep me up at night. I think... probably with if you're looking with a view to the future and for a player that can be around for the next 7-8 years, it's more likely Head, isn't it? So there's the upside there. But if you're looking for a player who brings, you know, vast experience to a series, it's Khawaja. And just doubling back on that last answer, you know, and I think it's poor of you, Tim, to have missed this, but one thing WA are contributing to cricket is a guy who could be a game-changing all-rounder.
Yes, the big fella, big greenie. Yeah. We don't want to pump him up too much because you'll bring him down quickly. He'll be the next Mitch Marsh. You blokes will rip into him and he'll end up having to be a short form player. I get what you guys are on. I'm not falling for that one, Lawler. Hey, good on you, mate. Look, great chat. Look forward to you chatting with all the boys, with Jared and the team. It starts next Wednesday at the Gabba. We can't wait on SEN Cricket and you'll be a big part of the summer. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Take care, mate. Bye.